This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Can you explain to me where tenor falls in terms of mezzo-soprano?
So mezzo-soprano. So we've got like our sop city, yeah. Sopranos. Yeah. Mezzo-soprano is a little bit lower than that, yeah. Right? So they're like right in that range. And then under that, we've got like a strong alto, usually like our belters, what we think of as like our strong, our Adeles.
Okay.
Right,
okay.
Or altos.
Okay.
Then we've got tenor ones, right?
So there's multiple tenors.
There are multiple tenors. So really, there's counter tenors.
What?
Counter tenors. So they're like, woo! They're like all falsetto. That was gorgeous, by the way. woo! Like that's like counter tenors. They sing up there. And then you have like tenor ones. You sing like a little bit below them. Tenor twos, which is like my sweet spot. Like that's exactly where I am.
And that's like chestier.
It's like chestier. It's a little mixier. It's a little chestier. It's high, but it's not like super, super high.
And also high for like a typical male register.
For typical male register, okay. It's sort of like, yeah, it's sort of like on the upper, the tessitura. I definitely said that word wrong, but I'm going to go with it again. The tessitura of the song sort of rests in like the F, G, E range. And then you've got your baritones, and then you've got your basses who are like the boom, 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 boom.
Right. The tubas and the
tubas of the
voice.
Male voice, of the voice. Mm-hmm. Indeed. Oh my God. I am a musicologist, and that is a real thing.
And that's why you've come to the right place.
Absolutely, yes.
Maybe you can teach me something.
I would love to.
Can you school me?
I mean, I am a tutor by day, so I could actually teach you, but not in music because I clearly don't know anything.
Stop. I don't know anything either. It doesn't stop me from talking.
It's time for Punch the GM.
Punch
the GM.
Punch
the GM.
Punch
the GM.
Hello, welcome, bienvenue a un nuevo episode of Punch Up the Jam. Just a little spice in there for anyone who doesn't like English. That's as many languages as you want it to be. My name is Miel Bredo, and this is the podcast where I try to make songs better, and the operative word is try. Shall we introduce the guest? You know him, maybe from his work on Vulture or Reductress, or maybe he's the actor cut from that episode of SVU. Chris Murphy!
Wow, thank you. Thank you. I was famously cut from an episode of Law & Order SVU.
Did you die?
I didn't. I was like a high school student who had witnessed some bad shit go down.
What were your lines?
Some bad stuff. It was actually really political. It was very like anti-gun violence. It was actually like sort of like the season premiere, and I was gonna actually have sort of like a big monologue that was like, you know, like guns are bad, but like NBC.
And then they were like, this is too woke.
They were
for
like,
us.
This is too progressive. This is too much.
Yeah.
You know,
they don't
America.
Have to they cancel don't. Their competition shows, of course.
No. And so they canceled me instead. And I'll never forgive them.
Well, thank you so much for coming.
Oh my God.
Aww.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
I'm so pumped.
I'm so pumped that you're so pumped because I have been wanting to do a Britney song since the inception of this podcast.
I can't believe you haven't done a Britney song yet.
No one's
kind
brought
of
it
wild.
In.
That's kind of crazy to me.
And now I feel so lucky that we're doing it today.
And we're actually doing the best one. I'm going to go on record and say this is the best Britney song. Please at me if you disagree you're wrong.
What would be the alternative?
I don't know, like Toxic if you're like lame and liked Glee, which I do. I did love Glee.
Toxic just has the one great violin moment.
Yeah, like dun dun dun
yeah.
dun dun dun.
That's kind of all it has.
Totally iconic.
Right.
But
lucky we have story as well.
We have story, we have song, we literally have a three-act play.
Yes.
We have an Oscar-nominated movie within Lucky.
Yes.
And it's fitting that we're talking about this today because the Oscar nominations
Lucky was snubbed once again.
Snubbed once again. Britney was subbed for best song, for best performance in the music video, for best narrator in the music video. She plays like multiple roles in the music video. It's really actually upsetting. It's deeply upsetting.
And the level to which she was able to dissociate to play 40 versions of herself.
Yes.
I'm
each
proud
more
of her.
Glamorous and more beautiful than the next. The range. We don't talk about Britney's range enough.
It's like
as a community.
You know, it's honestly like Charlie Kaufman wrote this. This is being John Malkovich
this
in a
absolutely
song.
Absolutely, in an absolutely accurate statement. You can't, unassailable.
So you were saying that you went to this concert?
Okay. So the first concert that I ever went to was in July of 2000. I was the Oops I Did It Again tour, the year this album came out. And it was for my sister's, I think, fifth birthday. And it was like at like the PNC Bank Center in like Homedale, New Jersey, amphitheater outside. I was 7, first concert ever. My sister and I were obsessed. We used to have those. Do you remember those like toothbrushes that like when you would brush your teeth?
They play a song. Of course.
So were they like hit clips? I forget. Like we had, my toothbrush was a Backstreet Boys toothbrush.
Which song did it play?
It played.
I Want It That Way.
No. It played Backstreet's Back.
All right.
Like every time.
Everybody.
And you'd have to brush your teeth for like as long as like the song went.
Yeah, it was a trick.
It was a trick.
And it worked.
And guess what? I have gorgeous teeth to this day because of...
A little bit of gum recession, but we're working on it.
That's actually true. Mm-hmm. Got to get a gum graft. Mm-hmm. I will spare you the details. But my sister's was like, oops, I did it again. For her toothbrush. And so we were like,
The titular song
from that album. So obviously for her 5th birthday, my parents were like, yeah, let's.
That's so young.
Isn't that so crazy?
For a Britney show?
That's crazy. So crazy. I was like, literally, she was turning 5 years old. And they're like, yeah, let's just take them to like the Britney Spears concert. And I was like, of course. And so we go to this concert. It's in an amphitheater. I was like, deeply obsessed. Like I was like a TRL kid, like, a, you know,
it was the time. 2000.
That was peak.
I would say maybe the last good year of that.
Oh, absolutely. Carson Daly, you had to love it.
Everything changed
for the worst. Everything actually did get worse after
that. It did,
right? You can actually sort of see like the decline of civilization.
Yeah.
After 2000. But I was like obsessed with Britney and like obsessed with Cinderella and obsessed with just like female heroines. I have no idea how my parents didn't know I was gay until I was 15. But like that was like sort of like my whole thing. So I was like so pumped. I was like, we were going to this Britney Spears concert. Like I knew every word to every song. So I remember this viscerally. So they were like doing the set list and like Lucky comes in the middle. And like she has like this whole like gorgeous pink set of like her bedroom and whatever. And like before it starts, there's like an announcer person. They're like, one lucky audience member is gonna get to go on stage and take a picture with Britney in the middle of the concert. And it's like a randomly selected thing.
With like their disposable camera.
It was literally like, I think there might have been digital cameras, but like literally like there's like a disposable camera on stage. And you could like go up on stage and like take a picture with Britney. And they did this whole like sort of like countdown thing. And they were like, if you're sitting in like section 200, like row 11, seat 32, you can come up on stage. And I swear to God, the people right in front of us won the chance of a lifetime to take a disposable camera picture with Britney Spears. And it kept getting like closer and closer to us. And I was like, I'm 7. It's my sister's birthday. Like, I've never been told no in my entire life. Like, I needed this, and I'm going to get this.
Right, and like, obviously, it doesn't actually make it worse that it was someone close to
no,
you.
No, it was actually like they showed us the photos. It was like so cool. We felt like sort of like VIP, like celebrity. Like we're with them.
We know the person who got to go on stage that got to see Britney.
Absolutely, 100%. And they're like, it was totally random, and we were like, sure, it was random. Like, you know, they actually probably paid more money, but like, it's okay. But I just remember being so excited and then disappointed.
Yeah.
Because we didn't get it.
So did that affect your relationship to the song at all? The whole time you're just stewing?
Well, I think it deepened my relationship to the song because like it was just like the highs and the lows, like the pathos of that. I was so emotionally invested in getting on stage. And then she sings this literally gorgeous anthem about like depression and like
this is a story about a boy named Chris.
It should be a story about a boy named Chris. And in that moment of that concert, it was a story about a boy named Chris.
It was. What a catharsis.
He thought he'd be lucky and he wasn't lucky. He wasn't lucky enough. And yet he was so blessed just to be in the audience.
Isn't that the theme of this entire song?
You're honestly lucky
and yet you're so not.
And you're so not. And it's just like, it is honestly, it's like, one, it's a depression anthem.
It absolutely is.
For anyone with clinical depression, call me.
Actually don't, because I'm not talking to you right now.
Actually not, because I actually need to be alone. But it really, like, it's just like so many layers. And it's honestly the only time we've seen Britney being herself. Honestly, it is the most...
Highly contentious point.
That is so true. She really reveals herself in this song.
So like, you're on deeply. The camp that this song is about her.
It's 1000% about her. Okay. She didn't even know that it was about her when she made the song. And she realized that in 2007 that it was really about her.
So Britney, I don't have a lot of notes about this song. Mm. It came out in 2000. It was the second single from Oops, I Did It Again.
That makes sense.
So what, Hit Me Maybe One More Time and then Lucky.
And then Lucky.
Which... in hindsight, is kind of crazy because I feel like Lucky is so slept on.
It is.
You think it would go straight to Oops, I Did It Again.
Straight, exactly. You would definitely think it would go Hit Me Baby, Oops, and then like a couple other songs and then Lucky.
What was the other one I had the whole choreography to? The Running Away. The sad one where she wants to sleep.
Sometimes I run.
Right.
Sometimes I hide. Sometimes I'm scared.
That one was the one that really affected me on my field trip to Mount St. Helens.
Okay. Ooh, that's... So when I think of like Britney ballads, I'm very much, I'm not a girl, not yet a woman.
Okay.
That's where I fall.
Crossroads era.
Crossroads era.
Yes,
sort of Shonda Rhimes influence.
We get
that's
it.
That's what I... That's sort of...
Another Oscar snub.
Oh, God. Crossroads.
It deserved more. I want to point out, though, that this, of course, was produced by Max Martin, as most of the music from this era.
It does. Okay, I honestly like almost didn't suggest the song because I was like, that does make my skin crawl.
You don't like Max Martin.
I mean, I'm not like a big... Isn't he bad? Is he bad? Am I confusing?
I don't know.
There's so many bad men these days.
Dr. Luke is notoriously
bad. Okay, he's the really bad one. Okay, actually, apologies to Max Martin. I thought you were...
I mean, he could be bad. I think we should question everyone.
We should have a critical eye, a critical lens for every man.
But he does... I would say if there's one like maybe bad thing I could say from like a cultural perspective, it's just that he produces too much.
Yeah, he's everywhere.
So everything sounds the same.
It does.
However, I think when this was made, he was still so... I mean, I could be wrong. This is purely opinion. Mm-hmm. But
I love it. Conjecture,
I feel like he was still so unestablished in America that it then is why I'm saying Britney Spears recorded half this record in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that crazy
to
think?
In Sweden. They flew
her out. In
Sweden,
yes.
Full Abba
treatment.
That
he didn't even come here.
No, you got to go to them.
It's wild. So it was
those
also
Swedish
produced
hitmakers. Wow.
By the other guy, Rami. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, I think Rami.
Yeah, and he does like a lot of Selena Gomez's stuff. Like these guys who like started here and 20 years later are still some of the biggest guys in the industry.
Oh my God. That's honestly the staying power. The gatekeepers.
Right.
The gatekeepers, the staying power. There are two ways to look at it.
And I would also throw in there, and again, pure opinion, I am not a music historian by any means, but like when you listen to this song or you listen to like the Backstreet Boys or NSYNC of the same era, there is a certain je ne sais quoi to this production that I feel like we've just kind of been chasing ever since, right? Like the punchiest gut
with melody, and structure.
Hook,
okay?
hook.
We're at the bridge.
Punch.
Exactly. We don't get bridges anymore like we used to these days.
Modulation.
Key changes. All right.
Ooh, actually, great segue into a new segment. We're not going to do it here, but I do want to give you the heads up.
Okay, I'm excited.
I'm very excited. So we recently had this episode with Grammy Award-winning musician Rob Moose, a friend of mine. He's amazing. He's like... At one point, he was in Bon Iver. Do you know what I mean? The dude absolutely kills me.
Oh my God.
For some reason I don't understand, he has agreed to be essentially the weatherman for this show.
Every podcast needs a weatherman.
Right, except for like the musical analysis.
Ah.
So every episode, every with a big asterisk, because who knows if his availability will allow.
Bon Iver.
Exactly. But... as for now, we're going to have some episodes and hopefully most episodes. We'll have a small moment where we throw to Rob Moose for some musical breakdown. So I'm going to throw that in there at the end of our discussion and see what he discussed that we haven't yet.
Cannot wait to hear what he says.
Right?
I'm so excited. I really want like a deep analysis, like bar by bar, note by note.
I haven't listened to the final one he just sent me. I think it might be mostly on the modulation, thus the segue. But we'll get there.
Gorgeous.
The last thing I want to say before we get to the song.
Mm-hmm.
This is from my patron. I'm pretty sure this isn't their real name. I need name.
Could be.
I don't know.
Gorgeous.
Canadian?
The Greek?
Okay, so they said, I wanted to say this just because I feel like this is so exactly the era, right? Mm. Like I'm sure pretty much any 90s kid, my cousins and I would try to do choreography for and from Britney's hit songs. However, I struggled because, let's be real, I could not keep up even with the simplest routine. Which,
nobody
sidebar,
can.
Remember Darren's dance groups?
Oh, they were so... I used to try to order that literally
all
on Nickelodeon.
Time.
And my parents would be like, you can't order things from
the TV.
You're
and they're like,
allowed.
You need a credit card. And I'm like, I'm 7.
You need to be over 18. It literally says that in the commercial, okay? But I'd be like, I want Darren's dance grooves. I need to know how to do
and
these steps.
And then you try to like emulate it just from the 30 seconds they played on TV, and it's too hard.
And it's simply because they are not breaking it down for you. That's why you have to buy the tape.
Okay, so like
so good.
I need name from Patreon struggle. So they go on to say, Lucky was the best because I developed my own choreographed dance that requires little actual coordination and was essentially miming the lyrics of the song. We love interpretive.
We love a story song.
It involves little lower body movement other than the bopping along with the song. So the part I'm most proud of is the chorus. Are you ready? These are the actions.
Okay.
Feel free to follow along.
I'm going to.
She's so lucky. Sheepish shrug.
Okay. Oh. She's so lucky.
She's a star. point at the sky like I'm identifying specific stars.
She's a star. I hope you're following along at home.
While you're driving your car.
Absolutely.
While you're on the subway.
Point to the star.
And she cries, of course.
With the fist. Cries. Exactly. In time.
You know. Yeah, exactly.
Cries.
And if we were choreographers, we'd be like, and two, and three, and seven, and eight.
Yes.
And cat.
And boom, and cat. Laurie Ann Gibson fan. Tell my Laurie Ann Gibson fans out there, shout out.
Is she from
Making the Band? Okay. Of course.
I was gonna guess whose line is it anyway. Ooh, but I think her name was Laura. What was her name?
So you're talking about Wayne Brady? No, Leslie. No, Leslie was not the choreographer for Making the Band.
Sure. Okay.
But we do love Leslie. We do love Whose Line Is It
Quick
Anyway.
Quick sidebar, shout out Whose Line Is It Anyway, course, the keyboardist.
100%. Absolutely fantastic. Really followed those people really wonderfully.
Okay, and now I'm sure you can guess, and her lonely heart is bumping hands to chest like a beating heart. I feel like you get bonus points if you went undershirt for that.
Oh, 100%. Right. I feel like Britney invented that. Like that
undershirt?
Well, I think that's more like Backstreet Boys, but like this move.
If you do it, if it's like you have enough time, you can get a quick boob squeeze on the way up.
Ooh,
just a quick way. Sexy. Hi, me.
Ooh, checking in with yourself.
And then the thinking is tapping the temple and looking stumped. If there's nothing missing in my life, I love this, particularly creative. Counting on your fingers like you're taking inventory of everything in your life.
Yeah. I have cars, house, things,
keys,
boyfriend,
wallet,
phone,
food, dog,
toothbrush,
dignity, happiness.
Darren's dance grooves.
Actually, no, did
exactly,
give me my
and I didn't have that, so there was something missing.
Then why? And that's another shrug with a, gee, I don't know, look on your face.
Okay. Oh, facial. So important.
Do these tears, single finger, miming a tear trickling down your face. Different from the fist tear.
Wow. Different than a fist. A different tear for the end. Yep. A more
and
sort
finally,
of personal introspective tear.
Exactly. Correct. And we're going to end it with, come at night, putting your hands under your head like you're miming sleeping.
Oh, my goodness. These dance moves, I need a name.
I need name.
You don't need any help choreographing because these slay. Absolute slay.
It just feels exactly of that era though, right?
Yeah.
You remember doing this?
1,000%. But I also was like forcing my sister to act out the full music video and I was obviously like actress Britney and she was like narrator Britney and we'd like go through the motions like with like the mirror, like looking into the mirror and like handing it like from the music video. So like to add choreography on top of an already sort of like brilliant, well-constructed, like Greta Gerwig directed
yes.
music
equally
video.
Equally snubbed.
Like Greta, it's like as good as Little Women, the movie, that music video, as complicated.
I would have joined your choreography, but I would have played Roger Johnson for Pop News.
From Pop News. The one who was like, and now Lucky comes down the steps.
Oh, here she goes.
Here she goes. And the Best Actress Award goes to Lucky.
Whew, with all of that said, should we get into the song?
I guess we have to. Who are these men who are singing the Oz in the back? I was
this
like,
this is a story about a girl named Lucky.
Like, who is that?
You know what it reminds me of?
It's clearly a man. Who are those men?
Rod Johnson. What's his name? Roger Johnson.
Roger Deakins. No, that's a cinematographer. Roger Johnson.
It's Jonathan Demme.
It's John.
It reminds
Smacks
me
Martin.
Of in Moulin Rouge, of course. Mm. The greatest film ever made.
I love the connections we're making.
You know when like they have the elephant love medley?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
And the moon sings along.
Mm-hmm. It's that tone. It's that timbre.
I think
it's that
the
sort
moon.
Of throat singing, mm-hmm. sort of like deeply, sort of guttural, sort of like.
Like you should be singing Auld Lang Syne off of like a found recording from 1800.
Absolutely. Which sort of should have no place in pop music, but absolutely
Max
works.
Martin found a way.
But absolutely works.
And also God. This bow. I don't know what instrument this is supposed to be, but doesn't it sound like the call from Backstreet Boys?
Oh my goodness. Wait, I've never
Marissa,
made that
could
connection.
Could you lay that in here? They sound the bow. Same. Yeah, the yeah. Bow. It just bow. Hits you. It's like Howie's fart.
It's and it probably was Howie, because you know it was Howie. Lance was
farting.
Oh,
supposedly it was Howie
it was literally
farting.
Howie.
And they made a beat out of it.
Oh my, that is literally the grossest yet coolest thing I've ever
Use
heard
that at your
entire
next
life.
Trivia night.
Okay, I'm going to take that with me and carry that with me for the rest of my life.
You do have to find a trivia night to go to.
I'll make one up just for that. every question is, and which Backstreet course, Boys fart did they use?
We can't skip over the best line in the song, in my opinion.
This is a story about a girl named Lucky.
Just in case we didn't know beforehand, right? And so she's sort of like actually sort of like pulling the wool over her eyes. She's like, this is not a story about me.
It's not
it's
me.
It's not about Britney because my name is Britney.
Yeah.
This is a story about
and
a girl
I'm a
named
singer,
Lucky.
And she's an actress.
And she's an actress and those are different professions. So this
exactly.
could not be me.
And also, just in case you're wondering, her name's not Lucky. It's Lucky.
Lucky. Lucky. It's like that vocal fry, that sort of, that timbre. And like in the music video, she like direct addresses. Like she comes out like in front of like a happy and sad theater face. And it's
yes,
like
the drama.
The drama of it all. I was like, this is a story about a girl named Lucky.
This is a story about a girl named Lucky.
And I was like, okay, I need to know. I need to know more.
I'm listening.
I'm listening. All right. The direct address, like which Cats 2019 stole from Lucky. All right. Judi Dench at the end. Literally just.
This is a story about a girl named Cats.
About a girl named Old Deuteronomy. All right. I'm just saying. All right. You can see culture sort of repeating itself yeah. and copying
we
what
Britney
did. We
cannot discuss culture and Lucky and not quick shout out John Early.
And not quick. No, we really can't. That
we
honestly,
have to.
This episode has to be dedicated to him.
This episode, John, come on the show. When I
Absolutely.
Listen to this now, I only hear John Early. He's so thoroughly corrupted
for
me. I only
see John Early. I see him doing this whole entire thing.
If you don't know what we're talking about, Google John Early, Britney Spears impression.
Do yourself a favor, all right?
Don't down a rabbit hole.
All right, you won't get out of it.
No.
You'll be happy. You'll thank us later.
And speaking of depression, great rabbit hole to go down if you're having an episode.
Oh, yeah. I've found myself there many times. John Early, Caper Lamp videos thing.
The Banana Phone?
Ooh, Banana Phone, Paris.
I'll take it.
Paris. Rock Collection. I can't. Rachel. Okay, I'm... We're getting off track. We're getting off track, but it's okay. It's okay.
Okay, we need to get back to the story.
Oh, my God, name Lucky.
Oh, my God, name Lucky.
Early morning, she wakes up. Knock, knock,
this part.
And then here we go. You hear the knock here. All right? That is in the music, all right? That is good storytelling.
That's a fucking Ebenezer Scrooge
okay.
ass knocker.
Absolutely bam, bam,
bam
in
bam.
Time, okay?
Oh, I love
this
a moment.
This is the beat, all right?
As if we didn't know from that, like, crescendo into space.
Oh, absolutely crazy. And I used to blast this song. My parents were probably like, what the fuck?
Is he okay?
Is he
We don't think he's gay yet, but we do think he's disturbed.
We know that something is wrong. We don't know what it is yet, but we know something is
How
not right.
How can one handle being this hyped all the time?
All the time. Literally all the time. And then just like, oh, that bam, bam, bam. Knock, knock, knock.
We love a four on the floor.
We love, oh, God. And
or a three on the door.
A three on the door. Three on the door. Four on the floor. Three on the door.
I love also how they take off whatever filter they had on there, like that lo-fi whatever mm-hmm. thing that made us feel like we were kind of in this space thing.
Yeah, which space was a big theme
right.
back then. Oops, I did it again. Was the space.
And then she's like, yeah, I'm on it. And now she's like, here.
She's here. She's down to earth. She's with us, okay? Because
she's Lucky.
Oops, I did it again. Famously set on Mars.
Right.
Here, we're famously in Hollywood.
So down to earth, it actually hurts. We're in hell.
It hurts. It actually hurts. It hurts. It hurts, okay? Even though she has no reason to be sad.
Also, those knocks on the door hurt my ears.
Yes. No, they're absolutely unpleasant, deeply
Unhinged
unpleasant.
If we're going
Unhinged.
With the door thing.
Early, also, who knocks early morning?
Bow, bow, bow.
Bow. That's like,
no.
Absolutely.
That's
okay.
Hey, Lucky, Lucky, we're ready for you.
Lucky, Lucky,
Lucky.
Yeah. Where's so her assistant?
Take your time. Okay. I have your hot tea right here.
All right, we're going to get a PA to sort of walk you over to set.
10-minute
okay.
warning.
Okay, all right. No rush. All right, do you need anything?
Just 10 minutes would
need
be great.
Okay, coffee?
Okay, tea, coffee? I have both.
Great. Water? Cool.
I hate how accurate that is. It's honestly
we know
upsetting.
Too much. We know too much.
We've been too far.
We've been too far. We're in too deep.
And we're not deep enough. It is off.
It's time for makeup. Perfect smile. It's do it all.
This is oh, one of my favorite parts.
God, sorry, sorry,
that
sorry.
That is
sorry.
Gorgeous. That is gorgeous. All right. And when she goes, there you go. Like that's
the transition.
The transition.
Singing the transition.
Singing the transition. All right. And then she's singing as somebody else because now she's not Lucky anymore. She's in there. Now she's telling us what the other people are saying about Lucky. Okay, all right, so this is like meta on this is like sort of like there are layers to this, okay?
I'm scanning the whole lyric.
More layers than Inception.
All of this technically is in third person.
All right, until, well, no spoilers, but we'll get to the end. We'll see when it shifts, if it shifts.
She does.
But it does start purely in the third person.
The very last. Oh my God!
No, okay, spoilers.
Sorry. Yeah. I totally forgot.
No, I just.
Okay, so currently we're in the third person.
We're in the third person. We're talking about a girl named Lucky.
And she's a lovely Hollywood girl
who is not Britney, all right? And everybody knows, isn't she lovely, this Hollywood girl?
Well, actually, great opportunity for a Stevie Wonder plug. What if the song just became, isn't she lovely, this Hollywood girl?
Okay, that's the mashup. Okay. My parents would have much preferred that, I think.
I mean, we'll get there, but maybe that is the only way to improve the song.
Maybe that's the only way.
Add Stevie Wonder.
Adding Stevie Wonder has never been bad ever in any context, no matter what.
Perfect. So what they actually said, it's time for makeup, perfect smile. It's you they're all waiting for.
There you go.
No pressure.
No pressure. No pressure. Okay. All right. Isn't she lovely? This Hollywood girl.
It's me.
There you go.
Can we just listen to the they go again? Because it a little bit sounds like the noise I make right before I throw up. You know what I mean? Where you're like, I'm fine.
It's the same muscles. You're like, it's exactly the same muscles.
It's just hard to tap when you're not about to throw up.
Absolutely. Just like crushing into each other.
There it is.
It's like, that's what's gonna happen next. Wow.
I mean, am I wrong?
No, that's deeply correct. And that's sad because this is actually definitely how I learned how to sing.
Yeah, I think probably a lot of people did.
Every riff, which she really smartly holds back. The first, isn't she lovely? She doesn't riff the first time, but wait and see.
It's a kooky riff. I've clocked it every time.
It's so good. It's kooky, and it's really the only one that I know how to do.
Hard to emulate, so I'm excited to hear
it. I'll give it my best shot. Okay, I'm warmed up.
She's so lucky. You know, but let's hear Britney do it.
Britney. Flawlessly executed the choreo, just in case you were wondering. Mia flawlessly did. I was like 2 counts behind.
I kept going, what is it? Fuck, what is it?
And then I was looking at you.
Counting the fingers.
I was like, don't forget to sleep. Two tears, one tear.
two hands, one hand. In my head, two tears, one hand.
Count, and sleep.
And sleep. Shout out that lady.
Shout out that lady. I need a name.
Actually, or man, I don't know why I assumed lady.
We don't know. Yeah, it could be anything.
I think the most, we got to say it. The first thing, say it at the same time. One, two, three. Frog sound. Wow,
frog sound.
You did that so flawlessly, it actually sounded like you were trying to
I
say
was
frog sound.
Definitely 100% right there with you.
What were you going to say?
Psychically connected. I was going to say flip to falsetto. Well, not falsetto, but the flip up.
Yeah.
And why do these tears come at night?
Why does it feel so good?
So good. Because she takes us to the highs, and then she takes us to the lows.
The lowest of lows, emotionally and sonically.
And sonically. She's giving us range. She's giving us sustained notes, which is not her normal oeuvre.
No.
It's not her strongest point.
I wouldn't use the word strong and Britney in the same sentence.
No, unless we're talking about stronger.
Of course.
Not at all to say about her personal life.
I would never speak to that. I wish nothing but the best for her. I feel terrible for her.
Absolutely. And now she's really into acro yoga and we celebrate that.
If she is, I don't know. Her Instagram is hard to read.
It's hard to read. But she does a lot of acro yoga on her Instagram.
I've seen it and I just feel like something's happening there.
Something's happening
there. That's not good.
Like
someone's doing something.
I worry. I worry, but I also will give her space to sort of figure it out.
Right. I don't want to assume something's wrong just because I don't get what she's doing. So like, isn't that the worst look of all?
No.
To be like, what are they making you do? And she's like, no, this is like, my own volition.
I'm finally like living my life the way that I want to, because clearly in 2000, she was living a life that
she didn't want.
That she didn't necessarily want, or that she didn't know what she signed up for.
Or probably even previously, because she's been famous since she was like 7.
16, at least.
Well, Mickey Mouse Club.
Oh, who could forget?
And like Star Search. She's been at it
She was off Broadway under study in Ruthless off Broadway. That was her like
Britney.
Big break. Yeah, for some other girl. God bless that other girl. But yeah, so she's been doing this since she was like 5. But
yeah, she needs a break. So when I say strong, I simply mean vocally.
Vocally, yes.
I think everyone's aware,
right? She's
not
Christina, but she has that X factor. She's got the riff. She's got the run. She's got the dances. She's got the look. Yeah. And that is enough.
The spirit, the charisma. Mm-hmm. And also
uniqueness,
this incredible frog fart background texture.
So you have to give me more about that, because I'm like so...
Okay, listen. You can hear it. It's. I wish I had the stems. You can hear it like... It's pretty clear when the other stuff drops out.
Okay.
I think It's My Life by Bon Jovi.
Okay.
That beginning noise.
That bow, bow, bow.
Yeah. So listen for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The bass part.
It honestly sounds like maybe a voice.
Like a froggy voice. Is it the same guy who's going like, oh, at the beginning?
It's just like Max Martin and Rami just having a day with their little synthesizer.
But creating like just a really great bass line that totally locks it all in.
Yeah.
That is locked in.
I would love to just live one day in their brains. I don't know how you think of stuff like this.
Do you have to be born in Sweden to be good at this?
You might.
You might. It actually might be a cultural thing. I really don't know. I'm not saying we couldn't do it, but I don't know if I have that skill set.
Well, and also, I mean, am I wrong? They also wrote this song, right?
Yeah, no, they did.
Should I fact check that? Or do you feel confident about that?
I feel confident enough to say yeah, sure.
Okay, good. So let's say they wrote this song.
Let's say they did.
To not only be able to hear these textures that are so, at that time, especially alien.
Yes.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah, no one's doing that.
Song sounds like it was made in a vacuum.
It sounds completely otherworldly. It sounds like it was made in a vacuum.
Like a visionary. But then also to write something as hooky as, why do these tears come at night?
Well, people were like, bow, 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 bow.
And he's like,
bow.
And then he's like, old-timey guys from 1700 are going, ha, yah, yah.
Yes, with their, like, harpsichords in the background, right? And then, like, but the bass line is sort of, like, also reminiscent of, like a Lean On Me, like, Stand By Me moment. So it's, like,
yes.
There's that, but it also doesn't sound
Motown.
Like that. It's, like, a little bit Motown, but like, just enough, but, like, not really.
It feels familiar, and yet they took so many new avenues.
And they added some new sounds to this. Some new sounds.
It's so exciting. I feel like it's so frustrating that pop music is so often disregarded when we speak about music as like its trajectory,
mm-hmm.
because so much happened here that dictated everything.
Yes,
and yet because it's like for kids or girly or whatever, it's just
not taken
off.
Seriously, and that's not fair, and that's not right, and it's totally discounted, and it has now infiltrated like all different parts of music. Okay,
right,
all right. You don't get to
find me a track that has not in some way been inspired by something that was inspired by something that was made by Max Martin.
Absolutely, yes. We keep going. We keep going. Yes, the story goes on.
But should we? No, because we have a second verse.
Yes. No knocks this time.
Thank you for noticing.
No, it's important. That's detail.
Story
it's
song.
All about the details. Yes, it's a story song, right?
Also, we need to talk about what happened right at the beginning of this. You hear that?
I thought we were talking about that. Yeah, spin an image. I thought that's what you were going for.
But it's the delay.
The delay of
image.
Like, wow. In case we didn't get that, what? She's a spinning image.
So is it spinning image? Because Genius says lost in an image.
Oh, I absolutely.
Let's hear it again.
Spinning
Let's hear it
image.
Spin an image. It's definitely spinning image.
Spinning image.
I hate Genius.
Oh, Genius, you've let me down once again.
It's like every episode, and I look at other sources, and all of them are wrong.
You can't be trusted. You simply can't be trusted.
So just our ears, then.
Just our ears, because we know the truth, okay? And that's like, and I've been doing the spit in him like for years. It's literally a door. Like, did a door just creak open? Like, is there a ghost in here? Like, that's what it sounds like.
There's a ghost in
haunting
Britney's.
There's a ghost
heart.
Yes, and she's trying to let that ghost out.
Yes, it was a wake-up call.
It was an image.
It was a cry for help.
And that's the ghost who goes, image.
It is. It's spooky.
It's spooky.
It's a specter.
a specter from a different astral plane.
Okay, so no one's waking her up from her nightmare.
No.
That's actually very clever lyrically. I mean, I think that's the one thing with these Swedish guy songs that we kind of write off for the lyrics because they usually don't really make sense.
They don't make any sense.
But this is a nice throwback to verse one.
Absolutely. We're sort of in the same world. We're sort of in the same...
In the real world, she's being woken up by an assistant saying you got to go to hair and makeup. And in this dream world, she's not being woken up.
She's not being...
living a nightmare.
Exactly. And then also in the music video, like she's in bed often and she comes back to her bed and we sort of see sort of like sleep versus awake versus dream. What is real? What is reality?
Okay, the bed though is the icon of my depressive episodes.
Oh my god, it's where
everything
it's the
centers
haven,
around
it's,
the
it's
bed.
All sort of the world sort of revolves around.
It's like
the
how they say
point.
When they talk about Sex in the City, they're like New York's the fourth character. Yeah, my depressive the, episodes, the bed
is the only character because I'm sort of not with us in that,
exactly
in that moment. And
correct.
It seems to be true for Britney as well.
Oh, the bed. We again, it was there the whole time.
There the whole time.
Okay, now the second part of verse two.
Yes, when she switches it up. And the world is spinning and she keeps on winning. But tell me what happens when it stops. There you go. That is like, that is good songwriting. That is unassailable songwriting. I'm sorry. That is good songwriting. The song spins. Wow,
look,
excuse
it
me.
It got you choked up. You're so upset.
It literally got me choked up.
You guys can't see it, but he just threw up
I
a little.
I absolutely did it because I was like, and no, but like the literally like the lyric and the melody start spinning on the world keeps spinning and she keeps on. So like we're spinning around and then we stop and everything cuts out. Like that is good songwriting. You can't tell me that's not good songwriting.
I mean, it's part good songwriting. I would mostly attribute this to the production again.
Okay. All right.
But I guess if you're a songwriter and a producer, you're thinking about both while you're making it.
Exactly. You have to be thinking about both while you're making it. And
it's
then
amazing.
She executes it so perfectly, so beautifully.
I want to give a shout out too to those background vocals on The World is Spinning and She Keeps on Winning. Can we just pay attention to just the background vocals?
Just the background, yes.
I mean, are you kidding?
Just totally.
Those harmonies
those
are
harmonies,
beautiful.
And they're just enough. Like, you hear just enough to be like, wow.
That's what
like,
is that? That's like, they do this so well. It reminds me of like Hansel and Gretel. There's like a little breadcrumb every foot just to keep you interested.
Exactly. And it keeps, and it switches it up, right? It's just, and she's a little bit supported, but she's also totally alone. She's also isolated, but like they're there and there she's like, and the world, and it moves. The lyric and the melody with it.
It moves it in the same way you just moved my heart with how into that you got.
I don't know if you saw me because this is a podcast, but I just sort of like turned the world around.
You had like a small out-of-body experience.
Absolutely.
I saw it happen.
The ghost just sort of inhabited me and I was like, ooh, the ghost of Britney just sort of came into my body.
No, what if it was the ghost from Ghostbusters? Slimer?
Absolutely, yes.
He's here!
Within me, from the movie that's coming out soon.
Oh my God, I just saw a trailer, sidebar.
I was
what
like, what?
Is happening?
I was like, isn't that supposed to be like a funny movie?
And there's like a nod in it to like, no, only my mom and she doesn't know anything. And I was like, are you shading the female Ghostbusters?
Yeah, because we liked that. We liked that more than you thought we did.
Don't, you're listening to like literally the worst people on the internet exclusively.
Like, only Reply Guys. I don't know why. Like, is this a Ghostbusters for Reply Guys?
Why are you giving them power?
I don't like that. I don't want that. I don't need that. All right, and I love Paul Rudd, but like, no, thank you. I do love it. Short King. Love him.
Are you kidding? Clueless? I think I had my entire sexual awakening. Well, actually, first of all, Vincent
same
Price,
era,
House
same
of Wax.
Era.
Then we go to Paul Rudd and Clueless.
Then we go to Paul Rudd and Clueless, making out with his stepsister, which
I'll
is...
I'll take it.
Yeah,
they're
sexy.
Not related.
Not technically. Not by blood.
Oh, God. I just love... This is the kind of production that it's so big that listening to any other song before or after this is a big transition.
It's really hard because it's just also so complete. Like, it's like you get everything.
Yes.
You get the lyrics, you get the melody, you get the production, you get the songwriting, you get a story. Like, it's really like a complete song. It's not, it doesn't like...
It's like a full meal.
Yeah, it doesn't leave you wanting more. It's not, sorry to drag, but it's not Justin Bieber's Yummy.
Drag Away? I do not like that song.
Yummy. Like,
to me,
I get
that is the most phoned in example of like, if we can just hit the right parts, we'll have a hit.
Like he got like 20 consultants in a room and we're like, okay, give me some buzzwords. What are the kids listening to? A couple hicks.
Give me like the instrumental noises that are popping off right now, and I'll sing on
it. Sing three notes and say two lines over and over again, and like I'll make $1 million. And
bring
it's like,
back when he actually sang. Remember
actually
when
sang.
He had those
when
little
he had
pipes?
Gorgeous, baby. Give me a Luna feature. Even give me a Sorry. You know, is it too late now?
Okay. Well, if we really want to talk, Justin's best.
Okay, wait, I'm nervous.
Cause if you like the way you look like that much, well, baby, you should go and love yourself. But none of that can compare. I mean, really, I feel like we keep arriving at this point of this is going to be a mashup.
It has to be. There's something, because there's just... there are too many entry points.
And also, I think I'm going to run into the same issue I ran into while trying to punch up the call by Backstreet Boys, which is that how do you punch it up?
How do you punch it up?
It can't
how do you
be
punch
improved.
Up Believed by no. Cher? How do you punch up?
That one I made Demi do, thank God.
Okay. So that's
but
how
now
you punch
I don't
it up.
Have Demi to pawn my work on
right.
to.
Sorry, he's no longer with us here Rip. In this studio. Rip Demi.
Not in the studio, still in our lives. Thank you for asking.
Yes, absolutely.
So now we get to chorus two, which is, of course, the same.
Yes,
but we
the same.
Are going to listen to it because how can you not?
You've got to.
That's it. That's the riff. We have to hear it again. I forgot about the pre-chorus.
And that's the riff.
Oh, lucky.
Lovely. It's like, it's that. It's so.
Do it again without me screaming.
Lovely. It's like that. It's like that. I'm not saying that's perfect, but I'm just saying that's sort of like in the realm of what she
you
did.
See my goosebumps.
I'm just saying it for to report Mia has goosebumps. Just putting that out there, Mia has goosebumps. But just, listen to Britney do it because she like that's like her like signature.
And
it's
like I'm sure I'm wrong about this. Again, I am an idiot, but it feels like there's some harmonic minory thing happening here.
Yeah,
it's very like, Middle Eastern.
Yeah, she's like playing with she's like bending, not bending notes,
no,
but she's like
those intervals are so close together. Yes, finally resolves.
And then it resolves in the lovely on the it's like it's that, but like she does throw that in there for you know for the musicians.
Flavor.
Britney is synonymous with flavor. Britney Spears, full of flavor. Yes, that's it. Backup singers again. They're killing it right now.
Okay.
Did you hear? She
yes,
says mine. She
to,
says
you
mine.
You were so correct.
That is the first peek behind the curtain, okay? That is her first admission of sadness, of depth, of pathos, of just emotion, of wanting, of vulnerability. Sorry. I'm literally going to start crying.
This is the part of the show where Chris does his monologue and wins a Tony.
I was born on July 7th. No.
Someone to tell me too close.
Oh my God, I'm Adam Driver. I leave the studio. I can't be here anymore. I can't believe you would reference my older work like that.
Great
I can't
deep
watch
cut on
myself.
Adam Driver's preference to never hear himself.
To never hear or see himself.
Terry Gross, do we know about this? Culturally, are we discussing this?
I'm sure you must have heard by now.
No, but you're so
himself.
Right. She snuck it in there in that background vocal.
She snuck it in there because she's not, she's like, and I'm sure I would like to believe it was her idea. Maybe it was Max Martin's idea, but like, this is just such like, this is a song about Britney and she is letting us in, right?
I mean,
It's meta. It has layers.
If I follow my heart, I can't help but think she's like 19, 17. She's so young. She's not that established as an artist and she's never really been a songwriter, right?
No, I don't think
she necessarily goes into this with like vision per se.
No.
I think this is very much like, hey, it'd be really cool if you sang this way. What if you tried this? What if you tried that?
What if you tried that, yes.
So I kind of feel like probably this was like a, hey, this would be really edgy and probably would sell a lot better if people maybe thought it was about you.
Exactly. Okay, that makes
but
sense. That makes
I
sense.
I also do have this little pipe dream that she was like kind of quietly... Actually, hang on. What if I say me?
What if I say me? Yeah, I you're probably right, but I can see her. I could see this being the one hill that she dies on in the studio. She's like,
I need to say me. Missing in my life. And then those background vocals.
I need to say my.
Oh, it's like a choir.
It's literally, there's a choir, but it's like so low, but it's still there. It's like so much lower than her.
I was just smashing my headphones under my ears to try to hear it better.
Like the harmony, but it's so rich. It is a rich choir behind Britney.
It does summarize my feelings on music like this, but this song specifically, it is like an eclair, you know?
An eclair, okay.
It's so
a French pastry.
Good. Mm-hmm. And then once you're done, you're like, I don't think I need to eat another one for a couple weeks.
No.
Because it really hit every... You know, everything it needed
two
to hit
two eclairs in a day? Never. No. You only need
it's
one
a lot.
Eclair.
It's a lot.
It's a sumptuous meal.
Better
Google that
word,
kids. I'm an SAT tutor, babes. I know the word sumptuous. I'm pretty confident I used it correctly.
And now now we get to the bridge. The best part of the song, if you love a story.
If you love a story.
If you love a little skit in the middle of a show.
A little skit, just a little skit, just a little play.
The intermission from the good part of the song.
Exactly.
That part slaps.
Fantastic.
Lucky.
Again. Roger.
Here we go.
Okay, I'm done. But like, that's like, like in the music video, like she has this whole entire thing where she's like, it leaves set and she's like on her like big ass phone because it was 2000.
I saw Night at the Roxbury.
Of course. Exactly. you know about it. And the way, I think it's actually really well done, the way they sort of like seamlessly, like they're able to like sort of tell the story without this actual scene, which is like a book scene.
This is a moment of radio hour.
It's a radio hour moment. Mm-hmm. It's like, and we've been able to tell like, okay, Lucky wins an award for Best Actress. Is it Critics' Choice? Is it Golden Globe?
We also just learned she's an actress.
We just learned, yeah. We didn't necessarily
know. She was a star.
We knew she was a star, but we didn't know what type of star. And she wins an award in the music video. It looks like an Oscar, but it could be a Golden Globe.
Yeah.
Could be a SAG award.
It could be a Tony.
Could be a Tony. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Probably not a Grammy because she is not a recording artist. She's right.
She is not Britney Spears.
Because she's not Britney Spears, even though Britney Spears says my multiple times throughout the song.
Mm-hmm.
That's
such a good hook.
It's such a good hook.
It doesn't come back at all.
No.
And that could have been this whole song. They could have written the whole song.
It's also
that.
So Britney. Like they got her. They got her vibe so well. Like yeah. That's like, it's not Christina. It's not Pink.
It's the girl that kind of sounds like a baby.
It's a girl that kind of sounds like a baby because she kind of is baby.
Britney's original baby.
Britney's baby. Sorry, everybody. Britney's baby.
And then Britney was like, I want to be baby with power. And that's when the drama started.
And that's when it all sort of went left.
Give her the power!
Give her the power. But
hashtag
also,
give Britney the power.
Give Britney the power, but also give her an adult to watch after her.
Yeah.
Also give her a babysitter if she's baby.
But someone
bit.
With her best intentions.
Exactly. Someone who we trust. Not
who
Kevin
trust?
Federline. Not even her
who
father.
Do we trust? Oh, definitely not.
Definitely not her father.
I don't think we can trust anyone is the problem.
I don't think.
Us? Okay, you guys.
Okay.
Hashtag get us to take care of
Britney Spears. Make us Britney Spears babysitter, okay? Call in to this number right now and make us Britney Spears babysitter.
And then they want to say, I'm Roger Johnson for Pop News, standing outside the arena, waiting for Lucky.
The arena.
Oh my God, here she comes.
I love that you cast yourself as Roger. Like, that is such a...
Who do we think that was? Do you think they had voice talent come in for that?
Absolutely did. Like painstaking auditions. Like somebody paid.
They went on the road looking for the perfect.
They
voice.
Paid their WeHo apartment off for 3 months off of that one line, and they were like, "I am good."
Actually, I think residuals. There are no residuals for songs.
That's actually probably
fair. Session singers do not make a lot of money.
Damn, that is sad.
Yeah,
that is sad because that is an integral part to the song.
It is.
All right, this is an important. It's an
integral
important
piece. And yet. Would I prefer it without it? Yes.
Probably.
And then just like some vamping.
Yeah, and then we get into the refrain.
Is it? I mean, it's only like 20 seconds. We didn't need it.
We didn't necessarily need it.
I also don't want to be thinking about like an awards show and a song.
And an arena at random. Ew. Are we at the Staples Center at Madison Square Garden?
No.
Are we at PNC Bank at the amphitheater where I saw her in 2000? No, we don't know.
What if we're at like the Showbox in Soda, you know? It's like an indie venue.
Oh my God. Lucky an indie artist. It's the Indie Spirit Awards. She won a Gotham Award.
We're at the Santa Monica Pier.
Tribeca Film Festival.
Here we are in Colorado.
Oh my God. Denver Rocks and Moon Center.
I'm trying to remember desperately where Sundance is.
I know.
Vail. Aspen.
No. It's Park City.
Park City, Utah.
Absolutely. That's where we are. That's where Lucky is.
That's where she won it.
That's where she won.
Yeah, because she just didn't know a Baumbach film. She was a starlet, but
we
what
always
if?
Assume.
She's an indie darling.
That's why Greta came up earlier because she's an indie darling.
We knew. We didn't know we knew, but
tight,
we did.
Tight screenplay.
Okay, now the best part of the song.
The best part.
But before we get there, let's have a quick ad break.
Okay.
And we're back and we're ready.
Ooh, I'm so excited.
Here we go.
This Hollywood girl. Modulation. background. The cadence here. Random note, amazing note. And patient. Britney doesn't give us sustained notes like that anymore. Two melodies at once.
Do you hear it?
Two melodies at once.
We get both. Pause it.
It's so good because you have the she is so lovely. Then why does she
so lucky?
And then they work seamlessly together.
Perfect.
Perfectly. And then the background singer's coming with a cry. And it's so good. And it's like, all right. And we still have the
boom, and we got boom, the boom.
Right, but she doesn't, that's like not what she does,
never.
All right? She's being vulnerable. She's not known for long, sustained notes. She's not Christina
Aguilera. Again, we don't think of her as a singer first.
We don't.
She's Britney first.
She's Britney first, then she's an actress second. Well, she's not an actress second. Then she's a dancer second.
I would say second, she's a performer.
Performer.
Like, if I think of Britney, it's like, I want to see Britney.
I want to see, and you do want to see Britney.
If you get the shot, you got to go.
You got to go. I've been twice. It was worth it every time. But
Third icon.
The icon.
And then fourth singer.
Fourth singer. Yeah. And then fifth baby.
Yeah, as of course,
and fifth baby. But that big note, like that is like she opens up and she is literally, that's her crying out.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Like, and they say, like, she's like crying out for help.
I'm rewinding a little bit so we can listen to the last part again because it got me so excited. I didn't want to stop it, but also I was like, we're missing a lot here.
We're missing a lot because there's so much. There's a listen for counter melody, listen for the big note, vulnerability, listen for bow, bow, bow.
Oh my God, here we go.
Answering your questions. We don't have an answer.
We don't know.
We don't know why the tears come at night. We have no idea. She leaves us with a question. Why do these tears come at night?
Fully goosebumps.
It really is her best song. Like, that is the way it builds. Every single part of the song comes back to this final crescendo and then leaves us wanting more.
Sucks it all out.
All out, okay? And then she, like, even gives a little, like, missing in my life. Like, a little, like, just to be like, she's still wondering, and it's just still about her, and it's really about her. Oh, my God.
It's a fucking opus.
It's an opus.
There's no other word for it.
They don't make songs like this anymore.
And honestly, they didn't before either.
And they did before, and they never did again. They never did. This is the only song like this in the world.
It came and it went, and we all were better for it.
We're all so lucky to have it. Lucky, I don't use pun intended.
I have said this before in this podcast, but never, I think, so appropriately as I'm going to say now. The last line of the song, Why Do the Tears Come at Night? The way this is produced, does it not sound so much like a black box theater and they all drop to one knee and the lights go out?
My safe space. That is literally my home. That's why I like the song so much.
Right? You see it.
See it.
They're dancing. And then,
why do these tears come at night?
Blackout.
Black.
Yep. Okay, curtain down.
You see it.
Standing O. She comes out, takes a bow.
Roses.
Bravo. Encore.
And one tear down her face.
One tear.
And we don't know.
We don't know.
Why?
And we don't have an answer. All right. And it's like, okay, wow. I gotta come back and see this again.
Because there's
so many ways to interpret it.
Has this not been made into a musical?
I don't know. And it's like, oof, but you have her. Her life is going to be made into a musical.
No, that
is.
That's news to me.
Once upon a time in Britney. It's like once upon a hit me baby one more time. That's what it's called.
Once upon a hit me baby one more time.
And
that doesn't feel like a good name.
I'm a working actor in the industry, and I would never talk shit about any project that I could currently be cast in. I'm skeptical. Let's just say I'm skeptical.
I'm skeptical based on the title alone.
Yeah, which I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. And it's, I don't know. As much as I would love a Britney jukebox musical, I'm a little nervous.
It's a jukebox. I was hoping we'd get new songs.
I think it's all...
Listen, I love Mamma Mia.
Who doesn't love a Mamma Mia?
And the sequel, Papa Pia, they're
even
my
a Jersey
favorite.
Boy is a Motown and ain't too proud to...
I'm going
to
stop at Mamma Mia, but I do love a Mamma Mia.
You love, and Mia loves a Mamma Mia.
But unfortunately, I'm not on board for this Britney thing so far. Hopefully proven incorrect. We'll see.
Hopefully. But if they just made a musical about Lucky, the song, or the person, who, she is a person, say her name, I would watch that.
So it sounds like I have two options then for this punch up. That either we make it a mashup because you can't improve Lucky, so all you can do is just make it a different thing and add another good song
and
to it.
And add another good song to it.
And obviously that would be Stevie Wonder, Isn't She Lovely, because the line's right in here.
Perfect. We literally say, Isn't She Lovely?
A million times. It's right there. It maybe has been done. I mean, someone's probably done it before, right?
I haven't heard it. I haven't heard it.
Well, let me reach out to my friends at insert cool DJ name here.
Oh, yeah, I totally know
that. See what they can do.
Oh my God, I love their work.
Or... I need to turn Lucky into a single song, full musical.
Okay.
We'll see.
I'm excited. I don't know. I love both ideas. As a musical theater person, the latter is sort of quite exciting, but
it's
not up to me.
Am I up to the task? I don't know.
I don't know. Well,
I could try.
Time will tell.
I'll see which one ends up panning out.
Okay.
Hopefully it ends up working.
I'm excited.
I'll lay that in here, but not before we listen to what our weatherman, musician in residence, Rob Moose, had to say about this song.
I'm not sure I would have received such a rich musical education had my parents known I'd be applying some of it to analyzing a Britney Spears song for a podcast.
Okay, rude.
But I'm into it. There's a lot to like about this song, or at least to be curious about. But I think my favorite element of the song is the modulation.
Yes!
From the end of the bridge into the final chorus. I think it might have been inspired by Mariah Carey's Always Be My Baby. Hear how that tightens up and sounds higher than, say, here? Look at us talking about modulations. Slightly more recently, Beyoncé took it a lot further by modulating repeatedly at the end of her song, Love on Top.
Oh my God, I've never heard it this fast. I just had a stroke.
That's insane. Though, to be fair, I did edit it, so those things all happened real quickly. I do think she was inspired, however, by Stevie Wonder's Golden Lady. Which does something pretty similar at the end of the song.
Stevie Wonder, fuck.
I like to think that the modulation is one of Britney's favorite parts of this song, but who knows? It's generally regarded as a kind of cheesy device, but it still keeps happening. I guess in pop music, which depends on the repetition of certain catchy sections, it enables the artist to sing a chorus a whole extra time. In this case, it's so catchy that we don't mind hearing it again. Thanks for listening.
Oh,
wow, Rob, you really came through, I gotta say.
Correct opinion!
You absolutely came through about the modulation and its purpose, and it's the history of it.
He had some great references.
Tightening it up, right? Making it sound higher. That's such a Golden Lady. Nobody talks about Golden Lady. Stevie Wonder, Golden Lady.
I don't know that song.
Wow. It's a little bit of a deep cut. It's not a My Sharia Moore, but it's
a great point and how modulation can be such an effective tool.
And
I'm so impressed too. Like, he's like a music guy.
Music.
The fact that he's like, no, it really works and sounds great. Yes, Rob.
Absolutely.
Yes,
give
Rob.
Credit where credit is due, Rob.
Of course it's cheesy, but in this song, I think it fucking
slaps. It works. All right. We're good. The emotion keeps building from a storytelling point of view, right? We're getting heightened. It's heightening the song, and we're literally heightening it by heightening the notes.
Exactly. I'm glad we listened to that before I did the punch up.
Oh my God. Me too. And the Love on Top, all those in a row. I've never heard it like that. Now only dogs can hear it. We went up actually three more times, but only dogs can hear it. I'm obsessed with that.
Okay, so I guess I'll throw on the punch up here and we'll see which one I chose.
Oh my God, I literally can't wait.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And now for world premiere, the
mashup no one knew they needed, but they do in fact need, Lucky and Isn't She Lovely, made by my frequent Vine collaborator, musician Ian Edgerly.
This is a story about a girl
good. Hope it was good. Now we get to the next segment. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm definitely ready.
Punchable Dave.
You can't punch this.
All right. So can I have two? Is that crazy?
Of course. Okay. I love it. The more the merrier.
Okay. So one, because we are recording this. Okay. So I'll start with actually the one, like my cool one.
Yeah.
Like I want to be like a cool music person.
Yeah.
And as I said earlier, like I absolutely work with children and teach like kids like SAT words and stuff like that.
You're
I'm really
smart.
Great at
it. We get it.
Humble brag. And I'm always like, I think I know music. And then they'll like be like, oh my God, do you listen to this artist? Do you listen to like Sampa the Great? Do you listen to like Little Missy Two Shoes? People I've never heard of.
Sounds fake.
Okay. That sound fake.
They might be pranking.
They might be pranking me. Okay, so this week, a really great student of mine, shout out Dan. he was like, oh, do you know the song Toast by Coffee? And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're like,
those
lying.
Are two foods.
But actually, one is an artist, Coffee with a K, K-O-F-F-E-E.
Ooh,
and
cute.
She has this unreal song, Toast, that's so cool. It's such a vibe. Blessings all for my life on. My thank God for the journey, the earnings, the dust for the plus. Yeah. Gratitude is a must. Yeah, me see blessings fall by my right hand. Bust a toast for the friends that take off. And it's just a really cool song, and it's like great for like walking around New York when you're like, yeah, I'm like, life is cool. I'm cool.
I'm
still
cool.
Young at heart, even though I am in my mid to late 20s.
Yeah, I feel you hard.
So that's my first Unpunchable jam. And then
I'm so excited to listen to that.
Oh, it's really, it's
I've
a wild.
I've been dying for some more like cool music.
It's very cool. It is very cool. Okay. And then sort of like lamely, I am an Oscar buff and J-Lo did get snubbed today. And
she
I
did.
Think we got to show her some love. And Waiting for Tonight is absolutely an unpunchable jam of all unpunchable jams. Waiting for Tonight.
I love that song.
It's just so good. And she is so good. And I feel like she's been underappreciated.
I agree.
By the masses. Not by us specifically.
No, you and I have been holding it down.
We've been holding it down for J-Lo since the beginning. So
since the cell?
Since the
Since Selena?
Since Selena. Ever heard of it? Since Made in Manhattan?
Ooh, Made
since
in Manhattan.
The Wedding Planner?
The
since
Wedding!
Monsters in Law?
Oh,
come on.
That one I did skip.
Monster in Law. Okay, I do love that one. She smacks Jane Fonda across the face. Come on, get into it.
But Jenny from the Block, I did have that whole CD.
Oh, of course, because Jenny from the Block. I mean, that could have been my Unpunchable jam, but I'm a Waiting for Tonight.
The video.
I'm Waiting for Tonight.
The dress.
The dress.
We needed it.
J-Lo created the Google image search. Okay, we all know that.
She did.
I mean, her green dress that she wore.
She did a stint in Palo Alto and came out with
literally,
the Google image search.
Google image search was created because she wore that green dress with the big leg slit.
Yes, we
and,
know.
Like, the deep cut. We
already
know.
Knew when
we
you
know.
Said the dress.
And so many people searched it or Googled J-Lo dress. Google came up with Google image search.
Is that factually
that is
true?
A factually true
wow!
statement.
I see why you're an SAT tutor.
Absolutely. Things that I know are facts, and that is a fact, and that is true. And
things that I know are purely opinions.
Quote me on that. I swear. All right. And I want to show J-Lo some love. So Waiting for Tonight, get into it.
Great job. I'm so excited for those to join the playlist. I'm going to continue on your train here.
Please.
I usually pick some like probably 40-year-old like white dude song. I don't know why it's all I listen to. It's honestly bad.
It's honestly
I need to update my music.
I'm a little concerned. Okay,
I know. What's
but
wrong with me?
You know, it takes all kinds.
I have the same music taste as like an old Gen X person.
Okay.
I know. And like a straight white man.
That's
I know.
Alarming.
It's not great.
It's 2020 now.
I think
babe.
When I was younger, it was like kind of chic because it's like, who is she? She's quirky.
Okay,
but
she's
like,
quirky. She's interesting.
Now it's like, honey,
she's
no.
a Greta Gerwig character. Are you a Greta Gerwig character?
I know. It's not okay. I am Frances Ha. Frankly, though, I did recently rewatch Frances Ha and it hit a little too close
yeah,
for
when
home.
They're like, oh, 27 is old. You're like, ah.
I was like, yeah, I gotta go. I wear my one jacket all the time. I suffer from jet lag.
Too real. This is all hitting too, it's hitting too hard.
But I wanted to choose a song that I think is very cool that by this time I'm sure everyone already knows, but I love it. And it's unapologetically pop, but with disco influence.
Good.
It's Don't Start Now by Dua Lipa.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. If you don't want to see me dancing with somebody, if you won't believe that in
show up, don't come out, don't start caring about me now.
The bass on this song.
The bass on the song.
Takes a ride.
Dua Lipa, she's a cool girl. You don't get to Dua Lipa without Britney. Without Juana Lipa. And we're not even ready for Trey Lipa. We can't even wait to see that. But I'm a huge fan. She's a pop girl
she
I can get into.
She seems cool, right?
She seems literally cool. She can actually sing. Look at her acoustic cover of Amy Winehouse's Tears Dry on Their Own. She can literally sing. And
she has a lower register, which I love.
Yes, she gives
Same reason
alto.
I'm obsessed with Florence Pugh.
Ooh, yes, Oscar nominee Florence Pugh, who also is a singer who sings, who has a...
What?
Have you not seen her YouTube channel? Flossie. It's like Flossie Pugh. It's like Flossie Pugh, where like... Flossie Florence, and it's like all of her from high school doing like acoustic covers of like like random songs, and it's like adorable, and she's like a great contralto.
I love contraltos.
So good. And there's also a video of her singing When You're Good to Mama from Chicago on
Florence,
YouTube at the age of 14.
If we're gonna get married, I should learn this about you.
It's grounded. It's absolutely fantastic.
Okay, wow.
The vocals are there. We love an alto, and we love Dua Lipa. Dua Peep?
I love you. You are amazing.
Okay, I love you. I never want to leave this room, and I might not.
I know. I'm honestly like, well, I guess it's the end of the show, but do we have to? This is so fun.
No.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh my God, thank you. I've had the time of my life.
Another great song.
I hope you've had the time of your life.
I have. Where can people follow you and read your stuff?
Okay.
See you on the big screen of the stage.
Okay, on the big screen, TBD. But you can follow my stuff at Christress, like distress or mistress.
I thought mistress.
Mistress. It's originally actually supposed to be just like sort of the feminine suffix tress. Like Beltress or Seamstress.
So C-H-R-I-S-T-R-E-S-S.
Exactly. Correct. That's on Twitter and Instagram. We'll get a lot of my
hot
takes.
You did a really good Instagram story on the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which I guess you were in one year.
Thank you. I was famously a soloist for Camp Broadway and opened up the parade in 2005. Yeah, I will actually recreate my line right now before I go. Mm-hmm. I just want to say how glad I am at last to see my dad. He was a soldier far away. And my dad is not a soldier, and none of that was true. But I did sing that.
But I believed you.
Thank
because
you.
Because you sing it so beautifully.
That's so sweet. But yes, I do love to sort of live blog the most insane things. So
it's such a journey.
Yeah, it's such a journey. And then you can catch my writing on Vulture.
Are you credited on Reductress? They don't credit people.
Yeah, the articles that I've written have been credited.
Hell
and
there are
some things that I like, haven't, but like that's more, you know, some more things coming that way. But yeah, Vulture. And then I do stand up in all over New York City.
Whole city?
Everywhere. Not Staten Island, but everywhere else I've been. And I will go.
Everywhere else.
And I will go. Sorry, I just got Britney's in my voice, but... yeah, so I do stand up like in Brooklyn and Manhattan.
I'm sure it's as funny as you are. I'm so excited to see
up?
It. If you want to follow me, I'm at Miel, Miel Monster. You can follow the show at Punch Up the Jam and check out our Patreon, Punch Up the Jam, where we give you early access to these songs so you can comment and maybe I'll read it on air. I also make mixtapes because, again, I have a really good taste in music, as I just said.
40-year-old man.
It's great.
Quirky.
Thank you for listening and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, that was
Punch the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Hey,
Punch the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
That was a HeadGum podcast.